Good evening once again. Thank you for letting us come back and share with you a little bit more personally about what the Lord has been doing in this ministry of supporting Bible translation. Before I begin, may I pray again for us. Our Lord and God, Father, thank you for this day of rest, for the day that we set aside on a Sunday and a Sabbath rest to come and worship you in this house, as many of your fellow believers and Christians all over the world are doing. We pray and thank you for this opportunity, the privilege of being here. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth this evening and our meditation together would be pleasing in your sight, our Lord and Creator. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this evening was intended to be more of a personal time, I think, but I still want to keep us in God's Word, and we'll get to that. I would like to leave some time at the end for any questions you might have, and I have a very short, five-so-minute video that will, it's a little teaser, I guess, I promised this morning about one result of Bible translation. I think it's a really neat story, and I think you'll enjoy this gentleman's testimony. He's a fellow colleague that I work with. I've had the privilege to get to know him, and he's on fire for the Lord. That's the best way I can describe him. Allow me to read from the book of Psalms 67. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise the Lord. For those who may not be fully aware, I think most people here, but as a reminder, we are just about 4 hours and 3 minute drive, I think, by the GPS, just south of Charlotte, about 30 minutes, in a little town called Waxhaw in the county of Union here in North Carolina. That's where the Jarvis campus is located, and there's so much going on there. It's hard to describe in just short words. But if you ever get the opportunity to come, I would invite you. They have an open house, organized open house, 4 times a year, the second Saturdays of March, June, August, and October. So please feel free to come as a church body or individually. Let us know if you're coming. We'd be happy to host you or tour with you and show you a little bit inside, behind the scenes things if we can. And if you're there during the middle of the week sometime, we can always give tours during the middle of the week. That's not a problem. Speaking of which, see, I've already forgotten. Sorry, excuse me. Our family photo, the girls in the back, it was taken about 2 years ago, I think. So it's the most recent one we have. Our founder, William Cameron Townsend, was affectionately known to those of us in Wycliffe as Uncle Cam. He was a man of great vision. When he founded Wycliffe Bible Translators, he quickly saw the need for support roles to come alongside of the translators. You could say that Jars was born out of an aircraft accident. Uncle Cam, his wife, and their baby daughter were involved in a plane crash as the plane was taken off on their way into the village as he was translating in Mexico. All four, including the pilot, walked away from the accident, so it wasn't tragic. But it was at that time that Uncle Cam realized without any doubt in his mind that he needed to come and recruit professional pilots and mechanics to maintain aircraft and to get communications specialists to come alongside and work with the Bible translators because of this need that he saw firsthand. So you could say that jungle aviation and radio service was born out of that. We don't go by that long title anymore. We just call it JARS, J-A-A-R-S. And then since then, many other services in support of Bible translation have bloomed and blossomed from that. Today, JARS campus, and we do more than just radios and airplanes, although those are a very much a vital part still of the ministry of supporting translation. The JARS campus is an essential part of Bible translation in a whole host of meeting non-print media needs, recordings, they're just even the maintenance of the facilities, the raising of project funds to support various things around the world. There's a staff of people that do all this and many other things. So it really wasn't appropriate to go by the title of Jungle Aviation anymore. And so that's why we've dropped that acronym and just stuck with the word. You may recall in years past, we've been asked to partner with other Wycliffe agencies, like in Indonesia, and other missions such as Samaritan's Purse and African Inland Mission. So just to review a little bit, I mentioned this morning, last year, our family, I think we had a good conversation with another homeschooling family at lunchtime, and part of that reason for we were able to go was because we were homeschooling and we could drop what we were doing at a moment's notice with all the permissions in place, of course, and be able to go. So praise the Lord for that ability. But we partnered with African Inland Mission in June of last year through November. And that was, just to give you a little summary of what all happened there. I left, let me back up a little bit. This is the same mission that I think Pastor mentioned too, that my parents served with. So we have an affiliation with them in some ways, if not personal. And my uncle served with them as well. So our relationship kind of goes way back in time. But after a flurry of emails beginning sometime late April and going through month of May and into early June, all the permissions were finally received from my bosses and the AMER leadership, and we drafted a memo of understanding, and we were on our way. I was on my way at the very end of June, ahead of the family. The family wasn't able to travel at that time, but I had to be there in order to get the training that I needed to understand how to run the avionics shop. So upon arrival, the plane landed around midnight, and I was whisked off to the hangar at bright and early the next morning to start the cross training. So leaving, at the end of June, it was 6 weeks ahead of the family, and I was indoctrinated into the avionics shop leadership. It's a fully certified Federal Aviation Administration repair station. Also, in conjunction with that, it's also a Kenyan authorized maintenance organization. So it has a dual certification. And having this dual certification allows them a greater amount of flexibility to maintain the aircraft and help others on the field, too, with their maintenance needs. So AMER truly needed someone like myself to come along and to fill in for the manager while he was on home assignment. And that was a privilege to be able to do that. So AMER also is a link to many other mission agencies serving in East Africa. And one of those things that happened while we were there, it was pretty tragic, was some extremists had invaded Central African Republic, I believe it was, and had threatened to do it. And so right before that, AMER had providentially gone in there and pulled out the expat missionaries ahead of anticipation of this happening. But sadly, the event happened, and many of the church leaders were left to at this when they were invaded, and that the compound was burned, and the people were run off, and they a lot of the Christians that were serving in this parts of the world had to travel through the Ugandan jungles to the next available city or refugee camp, hundreds of miles on foot. And so this picture here, this is God's doing. It's amazing. On Friday afternoon, a Facebook message came in from AIM, and this is a group of church leaders from Rafai and Zemio on returning home to their area. That these are the people who actually were the pastors of this area and the churches, and they're on their way in the AIM aircraft heading that way. In Obo and Central Africa Republic, they received trauma training through an agency called Healing the Wounds of Trauma, which equips them to minister to the church that they're returning to. And ever since rebels pushed into the area last year, the body of Christ in the area was forced across the border and lived in temporary structures in the jungle. And we praise God for the ministry that when they were pushed out, their first thought at returning wasn't to take revenge, but they wanted to minister. They wanted to bring in food and medical supplies for all the people, and it didn't matter who was there, but they wanted to serve the people immediately in this area that was affected. So these are really committed Christian believers and pastors who are really have a heart for service and to the church. In addition to serving AIM aircraft, another big responsibility I had to do was perform a lot of inspections on the AIM aircraft, but other aircraft as well. Because it was a fully certified avionics shop there, there was a lot of requests coming in. So one of our major customers, if you will, or clients that came in and asked for help was a fly-in medical mission that would medevac people out of Tanzania. Very desperately needed. These people are in need of hospital care, and there's just no way to get over the roads that long of a distance to get to a hospital, so the aircraft are essential for that. Just about every aircraft in the AIM arsenal, if you will, all their aircraft, came due for a major inspection, for avionics, by the way, while I was there. I think they planned it that way, and I wasn't sure, but... anyway, it was a lot of work to do. So when I wasn't doing inspections, I was also working on radios such as this, and in the picture, and also working with an apprentice who was new to the field of avionics. So it was a pleasure to talk with him, to help him get established or to train him in the field of electronics. Even that there's a few times where we were in Nairobi and working on inspection that I was, you know, just had gotten started or was in a few hours into it when the pilots would come down and say, we need that aircraft on the field right now because we have a medevac to take care of ourselves. So I'd have to put the aircraft back together. And that happened on three occasions, which was kind of just discouraging in some ways, but yet that was why the aircraft were there, because they were there to serve the people of Kenya and those missionary families who have committed everything by living in these remote areas. So I was happily put the aircraft back together and start up the inspection the next time I saw it. So while we were in Nairobi, we saw the historic national elections twice. I mentioned this morning, Deborah and the kids arrived the evening before the first time. And it was reported as possibly a very violent time, and so we were asked to kind of lay low. But I can assure you that even now that we weren't in any danger. We were taking very serious precautions as came from the embassy and our other security essential personnel within AIM. They were monitoring the situation. So African Inland Missions leadership was very appreciative of our family's willingness to come, and they wanted to thank, you know, our partners for allowing us that opportunity to do that. And the team had expressed their appreciation almost nearly every single day, and that is no exaggeration. I got tired of hearing it, but I mean, honestly, I was trying to be gracious. But they did. Every morning, pretty much, somebody came by and just said, thank you. We couldn't have done this without your coming. So thank you as for our partners who made that possible. We told them that was a very much a deal breaker, if you will, that without our partners standing behind us, we could not have made it. They were appreciative of our willingness, as I mentioned, that because the family, we could travel on such short notice. And so that was a good time for the family to get back to Kenya and to serve another in a field overseas environment. No trip to Africa, I don't think, would be complete, perhaps, without a safari. So, whoops, I'm behind slides again. And so, obviously, we went ahead and we took a visit to a game park before we're leaving. And we're just impressed at how truly God is such a creative creator. He has such an imagination and the way he's created so much variety in animals. And it wouldn't have been great to have been on the ark to see them all in one place with Noah. Our ministry on your behalf is primarily still with the Global Technologies and Information Services Department. And that's still a fancy name for, that is our name, but it's an IT department. So returning to the United States, I mentioned there was some upsetting news or some major changes about this morning. And when I got back, I heard about them. I've learned that I work with a dwindling department, but there were three of us working together in our wireless communications team. And I learned that both of those two guys are leaving next year in 2019. One is taking full retirement because he's of that age. And the second one has decided, for his family's sake and other reasons, that he will work on a remote assignment from his home, but he's moving to Montana. So I will be the only one left in the building. You can pray about that, too, because I'm a little worried on how that's all going to work out. We are going to be gaining one colleague. He is leaving Papua New Guinea in October this year, so he'll be on a home assignment officially until mid-2019, and then he'll start work. And he'll be joining our team, but our team will not be a physical team. It'll be a team working remotely from four or five different locations, and I'll be the only one, unless someone joins us, and we pray that that will happen too, out of Waxaw. So I may end up being the only one that sees the physical things that come through, and then I have to relate to the other team members. I mentioned also this morning, one of the main jobs with IT is working with these devices, and I bring this because sometimes it's good to actually see what I'm talking about. This is what we call the Broadband Global Area Network, and this is our primary device used by the translation teams to give them internet access while they are in very remote locations. And it's nothing more than a modem, in a sense, a radio transmitter that talks to the satellites and gives you internet connection. It's a very useful tool, but it's not terribly cheap. It's this device, although this is a replica, would sell for about $2,500. So the translation teams are responsible for that, and we help them maintain it. Well, I mention that because also this morning, our dear friends from Papua New Guinea, Tom and Connie Logan, oops, that didn't, I lost the, oh, I got the wrong button. There we go. Tom and Connie Logan just finished their language translation for the Kasawa people of Papua New Guinea. And now they've moved over here to Beaufort, right on the coast, and this is where they're going to be living from and working out of. And they've taken, in a sense, a remote assignment. But as Bible translators, you know, they're not done yet. They're fairly young. They're not about our age, maybe a little bit between 55 and 60, thereabouts. So they can serve some more. So their translators for the Kasawa people in Papua New Guinea are excited about continuing Bible translation. And they want to complete the Old Testament. Well, how do they do that when the Logan family, you know, all their kids have all gone. They're getting older themselves, so they felt the Lord wanting them to be here. Connie's a counselor, and Tommy has many other skills. So God has put them to use here as well, but they also still want to be involved. Well, as with a device like this, Tommy can still be the consultant to their language program as the Papua New Guinea translators in Papua New Guinea continue to work on the translation. They will synchronize their data on their computers with Tommy, and he can advise them and continue the Bible translation and complete the Old Testament. Well, the good news about that is we're just getting him started. So by the end of the year, we'll have him back over in Papua New Guinea with one of these in his hands, and he will be going to the village and giving it to them, training them how to use it, and proceed with that. So by the end of this year, that language program will be continuing with the Old Testament. So the translation teams, like the Logans and many other people, depend on our team back in Waxhaw to, and now it'll be spread around, but they'll depend on us to help troubleshoot any needs. And we're working through a couple different issues. Thankfully, we thank the Lord that there hasn't been a lot of hardware failures. There have been like little issues with glitches with software and things like that, but we can fix those through communication and email and things like that. So our wireless team is only one part of a bigger team called Field Systems. And I mentioned that because the Field Systems side is made up of power systems and communication systems. And so with everyone leaving, me alone in Waxhaw now, I'll probably be working a lot closer with power systems. But we'll be corporate or collectively known as Field Systems. And I mention that because they do power, and part of what they have needs as well as electrical. We have an electrical contractor who actually is licensed, and he advises and helps make repairs to branches or, you know, people serving overseas who have electrical issues, and sometimes he travels there and fixes these problems for them. Well, they depend on that service, and he's about to retire himself. So I've asked, and I got a really good response from both our own leadership within the IT department and how to get that experience through our construction and maintenance department. And it was priceless, their response to me when I asked, what are the possibilities of me working on a part-time basis to gain that experience? And he just says, you are a direct answer to prayer. We've been asking the Lord to send us people. And as it turns out, I'm just one of two who will be working part-time. So between the two of us, they got a full-time worker. So praise the Lord for that. So there's, as I mentioned, electricians from our department in IT will actually travel overseas and work on generators or work on electrical panels or fix various issues that crop up, because oftentimes people aren't skilled in those areas, and you can't often get a national person who might be an electrician to do things to a standard that is safe. Sometimes, I'm not saying that to criticize, but their training isn't always where it needs to be to do some of the work. And so we want our teams to have reliable power and safe power. And some of the best ways to do that is to provide that service ourselves as our team. So that's what we've done. So beginning August of this year, I started this dual role with at the JAR Center. So 40% of my time is now working as a center electrician, and 60% is still in the Global Technologies, GTIS department, working there. The Construction and Maintenance Department, or CAM, is responsible for 68 buildings on the JARS campus. There are 551 acres there. And they also provide training. They've trained over 1,500 people in the last many years, who go overseas as construction and maintenance people. And we often forget that, yeah, we send translators over there, we might send aircraft mechanics and those people, but who's going to build their house? or who's going to put in a water system for them? Who knows how to do that? Well, that's where the CAM department comes in. Because the translator can't effectively translate unless he has a roof over his head and electricity sometimes to work at night and a power to keep his computer working. And so that's where this other department, and we all work together. Because of this new assignment, though, some bad news. I won't have very many aviation stories to tell you, so I have to apologize about that. I would like to read a passage of scripture from Joshua, if I may. I've been hearing, we hear a lot of tragedy in your lives and our lives, and we have too have experienced that. And I think this is an encouraging passage from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, them, the children of Israel." And then moving down to verses 8 and 9, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I've heard conversations and hearing our prayer requests, we've all had a lot of tragedy in our lives, and this is no different for Joshua at the time. I'm sure he was pretty devastated after all the leadership that Moses was providing and God was using very mightily to lead the people of Israel. This heavy burden was falling now squarely on his shoulders. And so that's kind of how I felt this past year as we lost my aunt and uncle, a family patriarch, if you will. He was a very godly man and highly respected, although, he was so humble that he wouldn't want us to talk of him like that. And I felt at that time we lost him, or as he was going, we were saying goodbye to him in June. That was what was going through my mind is that, who am I going to look up to now? Well, I think God puts us through some phases of life that, okay, now it's on your shoulders to be the leader or a spiritual leader in the family, if you will. And not that I have a great amount of responsibility in that area, but just that it was an encouragement to me. Also, there were several other families. We've lost count, actually, through the friends and family at Jars, through aunts who we have lost in the last year. Some quickly, some long-term, but each one was extremely hard to say goodbye to. Each one were committed to the Lord Jesus, and we know of their eternal situation. They were Christians very much, and we praise the Lord for that. That happened while we were in Kenya. My aunt passed away, so we didn't get the chance to really say goodbye, but as I was leaving in June, we went to say goodbye to her just because I was getting on the airplane the next morning, and she looked me square in the eye and she says, "You won't see me here again, but you'll see me in the heavens." So it wasn't something I wanted to hear when she said that to me, but it was good that helps that process of grieving and knowing that one day we will see her. So it isn't easy letting go of loved ones, as we all know, and it is never going to be easy, I don't think. But that's why we have God's Word, and I think, because we have hope, we can trust the Lord, and we know that we can trust God's Word that one day we will see people again, and when we go to heaven. So we praise the Lord for that. As I mentioned this morning, there are a great amount of needs for Bible translation in the world. This is a map depicting those needs in the various continents that are illustrated there. We know when we joined Wycliffe, there were well over 3,000 language needs of translation that hadn't been started yet. I forget the exact number. It was pretty daunting, and it was growing. And it was always increasing. But slowly, over time, we've started to see that number come down. And I mentioned it was like 1,636 languages now that are known, that there might be still more. They're still discovering more from time to time. And I mentioned the deaf communities have recently learned that they, some communities may need their own translation themselves, because many have not even been taught to read and write, and how do you, their grammar and all this, various reasons that, they found out that you just can't teach them a particular language. They might be in Asia, they might be in the U.S., they may be in Europe or on the Far East. So each one might require their own translation. But we do know that the translation needs do still continue to drop, and we praise the Lord for that. And our goal still is zero translation needs, obviously. We need to keep working at this until we have no more needs. And we mentioned also on August 11th, we celebrated the 1,000th New Testament translation. That's just within Wycliffe, by the way. That doesn't include other agencies, and there are several others that are doing Bible translation work. So the needs, we see great progress being made. We are having a scripture celebration in September, and if you're welcome to come for that. I think it's the 20th of September at our center, and we hope to learn more about how many more translations were done in the past year, but they were all included in this 1,000th number. And I mentioned earlier, I have a very short video called The Ripple Effect. It's a dear friend, Nard Pugyo, and he's from the Philippines. Don't think it mentions, well, I'm not sure how much he mentions about it, but he was a young Filipino who was taken special interest of a translator who came to his village, and that was the gentleman from Ira, Vermont, and he sent him back to the United States to get trained as a pilot, and Nard took that challenge and did very well and then returned to the Philippines and was instrumental in flying in his own Isnak Bible translation, completed New Testament, into his own village. And he has a powerful testimony, but this is just a short video of him expressing those things, the story.
Psalm 145, verse 4 and 5. What you have done will be remembered from one generation to the next, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. What a wonderful word of God. And I remember that because I'm an end result of Bible translation work, Ripple Effect of Word of Life Ministry in Schoon Lake, New York. It started back in 1949. Richard Rowe, a young 18-year-old man, just graduated from high school out of Ira, Vermont, attending Word of Life camp in Schoon Lake, New York. Jack Wurtson was a preacher that day, the founder of Word of Life Ministry. I don't know what he preached, but all I know was that this young Richard Rowe was one of the campers. Jack Wurtson gave the message, gave the invitation, and Richard Rowe was one of the first ones to get up out of the seat, walk that aisle, gave his heart to Jesus Christ to serve him in missions. When I think about that, I said, God, how incredible in that while this young man was giving his heart to Christ, I was being formed in my mother's womb. At the same time, he was receiving Christ in 1949. From there, he went on to be educated to Wheaton College, became a Bible translator, and then joining a mission to go to the Philippines to do Bible translation work, arriving in my village of Dibagat, 1956. We didn't know what to do with this guy, but all I knew was that he came because God orchestrated this special event so that I would know about Jesus Christ. He learned our language, wrote our alphabet, and translated the scriptures in my heart language. And I'll never forget Christmas Day, 1963, the Gospel of Mark was completed, and he gave me a copy of that book. And reading it for the very first time, I met the Christ of Christmas, and I'll never be the same since. And then God opened wide the doors for an education using that missionary to help me go to school. And then I wanted to become a missionary pilot, and God opened wide the doors to come to America. And then going to Letourneau and onto Moody Bible Institute. Receiving my wings and returning full circle to the Philippines as a missionary pilot. And I'll never forget June 24, 1982, as we were packing the first 500 copies of God's Word in Isnag to fly back to the Bagot where I was born. And as I was packing these books with my wife, I was asking the Lord the question, Lord, what if? What if Jack Wordson preached the wrong message at 1949 at Word of Life Camp? Or what if Richard Rowe hardened his heart and said, I'm not going? But God knew there was a little boy born in the hut up in the northern jungles of the Philippines, needing to hear about the person of Jesus Christ and would return full circle, orchestrated by his hand to deliver God's word back to his own people. We packed these 500 copies back to fly to the Bagot in the Hillier Courier. And I'll never forget taking off on a clear day back to the Bagot on an airstrip that I helped build in 1964. Getting on top of the airstrip, we looked down on the 600-foot runway and looked pretty good. About 45 minutes hike up to the next mountain, down to the next valley, is where I was born. And circling over that little tiny village of Bayuhao, looking down below, I could see coconuts after coconuts, and underneath the coconut groves, three little tiny huts. And I said, Lord, look at that hut, the third one on the right. You formed me in secret there. You plucked me out of there to become you. The thought of knowing God can speak to anyone for his glory. And then I lined up for that approach. I couldn't miss. I touched down, and within 200 feet, I stopped that airplane. I taxied to the end. I turned around, and I shut down. I got out. My wife got out. And then I went to the back seat of that airplane, unloading the boxes of New Testament. And I placed one box to the ground. And as I went for the second box, the Isnags come running up to the hilltop, but they were all my relatives, so I ignored them. I picked up the second box, and I was about ready to put it beside the first one I just placed on the ground, and a woman picked it up. She placed it on top of her head, moving to the side. And I looked, and it was my oldest sister, Emma, and I hollered at her, Hey, Manang, that means older sister. She turned around with a box on her head, and I said, Hey, Manang, do you know what you're carrying? She said, It's just a box. I have to move it out of the way. And I said to her, Hey, Manang, those are New Testaments in our language. At that moment, I wish I had a camera to capture the moment. I just smiled big and moved one leg and then the other and grabbing hold of that box, lifting it with all her strength, still smiling at me, bringing it down and literally hugging it with all her strength and smiled big. And she said, Are you serious? I'm going to have a copy of my very own New Testament in our language. And inside my heart, it was about ready to burst. And I said, Oh, God, what if Jack Wordson or Richard Rowe, what if they hardened their heart and said, No way, we don't want to have anything to do with the God of heaven and earth. You never know what the ripple effect of what God is doing through the ministry of Word of Life. May God bless you as you support this ministry, a special ministry that is impacting the world for Jesus Christ. And the Philippines as the minister around the world. And I'm just excited because many of the Isnag people now from my village are being educated to reach the mountain people of northern Philippines for his glory and for his honor alone. God bless you.
Yes. Nard is a tremendous friend, and we call him the savage. But he's a great friend. And we have a mutual friend up in Vermont that who operates a sugar house, and so Nard refers to him as Uncle Jemima, as getting his syrup from him. But I did want to mention that, and we weren't sure, and you know, this because it talks a lot about Word of Life, but I understand that this church is involved in the Word of Life ministries, and so very powerful. Praise the Lord, and God can use various different things. He can use home churches, he can use Bible schools like Word of Life. And he can use you and as individuals, because we still have to answer that call that God places on our hearts. And it's when God speaks to you and calls you to go, you must go. But also, you know, God has called us to serve right where you are too. And that's equally as important. And we want to emphasize that as well. So thank the Lord. And thank you, Jack, for the opportunity to share once again. And we can take questions if there are time. I don't know what time. I am getting late, aren't I?